animals and different difficult challenges. And if I ask you to go in the wilderness and live there and stay and adopt yourself and according to the atmosphere, how would you like it? And I ask you to live on locusts or maybe on honey, can you survive? But this man of God, what was the reason? What made him to live in the wilderness? The questions arise in our mind. And first of all, I would tell you, as we read the passage, John the Baptist. And the Baptist and baptism, this word, comes from Greek baptisma. And in as a verb is bapto. And this bapto, a baptisma, includes two actions. When you dip someone in the water, it also includes the action of taking out. Remember, it doesn't mean only dipping in the water. If John had dipped only in the water, and you know that in for a few seconds, you can't keep people for long inside the water. But this was the something divine, what John the Baptist, he was exhibiting through that action. And that was the action and the act of preparation. And preparation for the big day. John the Baptist. From there, he had a name, John the Baptist. But one thing is very important thing. His message is very clear and very striking. On one hand, he is in the wilderness, separated. We might think, did he have family? Of course he had family. He had mother and father. He had family. He was not living from his childhood in the wilderness. He had a normal family life. What made him to be separated and living in the wilderness? Isn't astonishing, surprising? But here, he separated himself from the world and the life that was filled with the challenges, with the great difficult tasks. But he was in the wilderness to fulfill the promise and the will of God. And it's very interesting when we read in the Gospel of Matthew. And if we read like, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Though we have short time, but we can learn some of the bullet points. Number one, I explained the meaning of John the Baptist. Then why did he live in the wilderness? And we will get the answer. We'll go through the passage and see. And we can already see that is read before us. And the third point we can learn about repentance and baptism. And we must remember that when John the Baptist is in the wilderness, and if you remember, it was a divine connection. He was exhibiting there very divine and historical thing. And we can relate, like this nation, once they were in the wilderness, and in the wilderness they received the word of God in the desert, Mount Sinai. They received the message in the wilderness. And how beautifully all these things meet with that situation, with his situation, through his actions. And one thing, we know that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the King of Kings. And he was in the desert, and he separated himself to welcome the King of Kings. And very interesting, the kingdom, he mentioned something about kingdom. And have you ever thought any kingdom without king or any king without kingdom? Doesn't happen. We have kingdom here. The queen is the person, authoritative power in this country. And if you go through the history, throughout the kings, they had kingdoms. And all mostly the nations, they had kings. Those who used to fight for them, they were warriors. But when John the Baptist, he describes about the kingdom, and we see and relate in Christ's time, and Christ, he did say that my kingdom is not of this world. And he is king. And John, what is he talking about? That kingdom is there and the king is here. What kind of king? This is the king of divine kingdom. And that is a beautiful thing that human mind cannot capture, grasp that divine thing. What John the Baptist is talking about. And one thing more, very interesting, we must remember that when John the Baptist, he talks about repentance and baptism, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 21, we would learn very clearly, baptism is not removal of dirt or filth, but it's a pledge of a good conscience toward God. That is the passage that tells us that baptism, he was not baptizing people for cleansing or cleaning or for washing. We must remember the repentance also has, when he says repent, and repentance has two actions. We accept and acknowledge about our sins, but then that is not sufficient. We don't stay there. Then this repentance leads us to the Lord God. There are two actions in repentance. True and genuine repentance has two meanings. That we accept as a sinner, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I need forgiveness. But that is, normally you would see that many religions, many faiths, they believe in repentance, acknowledging. They would say, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. And they would repent. They might say God or Allah or maybe their gods, different ways that forgive us. But it doesn't mean that they are turning to God. They are only for asking for forgiveness. And they have different faith people. They have different faith. They have for cleansing, washing, purifying themselves. But here, John the Baptist, when he talks about repentance, he is preparing people and he is baptizing that people would make a pledge. They need to repent that we are sinner, and then they need to come to receive the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preparing. And then we read further on. And he says that there he is there among you. The kingdom is at hand or near. And that's what he was preparing people. And we must remember here, and this is the church, and we must remember Israelites and Jewish people, the children of God, it talks about in the Acts, we learn that this is the church of the wilderness. I would like to read. You can also read Acts chapter 7 and verse 33. You can write it down and read in your own time, because then we can focus a few more things. And 1 Corinthians, it talks about the church of the wilderness. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 2. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Sometimes people think Israelites, they were not baptized, but the Bible says they were baptized in the sea. Do you know how they were baptized? The water was separated, and you know, they were in the water, and whole nation from the promised land, from slavery to the promised land, when they were taken, and when they go through the water, they were all baptized. And that, what was the pledge? What was the promise there? The promise was about the promised land, their place. And that was not the eternal place for this nation. This was the temporal place. And when John the Baptist, he is pronouncing that the kingdom, he is talking about the eternal kingdom. And the king of that kingdom, Jesus Christ, was there. And we can see that how this nation, scribes and Pharisees, all cultivated people, they were proud of their, and they had vanity of their knowledge and of their knowledge about the law and their practices, ceremonial things. They were proud of this. But yet they needed repentance. And for that reason, John the Baptist rebuked them. What made you to come here? What made you to repent? The wrath of God. And they were also scared. And they were coming because we know that we all sinned. Once we all sinned, and we were deprived from the glory of God. And here John the Baptist prepares this nation, the church of the wilderness, because they had forgotten the promises. They had forgotten the promises that Messiah will be coming. They were not ready to welcome. And here we see the man of God with a great slogan, welcomes in the wilderness. And what was his slogan? I would like to read again. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And then next one, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. The voice. And you know that whenever in the palace of the queen goes to her throne, somebody makes noise, announces, pronounces. And you know that the manner when the king comes to the throne, then the path or the passage must be clear. Though path and ways is used in many ways, so it has many uses. But here simply we would learn some of the things about path and ways. And we know that when king walks, then the path, there shouldn't be any obstacle. Have you seen ever when the queen is going to the throne and somebody sits in the midst of that path and says, hello queen, can you see things happening? People will be clearing everything. No one should be on the way when queen is coming. And it should be very clear. And this is the voice. He had the privilege to call upon the Savior, the King of Kings, that he is coming. What a wonderful privilege. And Christ, from his lips, our Savior pronounced that he is the greatest, greatest prophet, greatest person among those who are born of mothers. What made him great? Did he have long beard, maybe nice clothes or something? What made him greatest? Because the greatest, what made him greatest? That he, when Jesus Christ said, many of the prophets, they desire to see, when Christ was talking about himself, that salvation and the king of the heaven and earth, they desire to see, but they couldn't. But this man, John the Baptist, had the privilege to welcome the King of Kings. And that was, he was already there in the wilderness, waiting for him and preparing the way. And that's what whole passage leads us to this, this divine kingdom. And Christ was already there. There are so many things to learn. And I know when we talk about Christ, the Word of God, you can learn in John chapter 1 and verse 1 and Hebrew chapter 1 and verse 1 very clearly the Word of God, Christ. When I mentioned that he was there to receive the Word of God in the wilderness, in the desert, as the nation of and the church of the wilderness, they received the message, and John the Baptist was there. And with the nation, he is preparing, calling them all that to come and see and prepare. And here in that group, all type of people were gathered. And they did respect John the Baptist because they considered him the man of God. And we must also remember that John also talks about Christ, the Word of God, incarnation. He becomes, and when Christ, he comes, and when John the Baptist talks about the path and ways, straighten your ways and path, and then here we see John chapter 14 verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and life. Christ pronounced and answered the questions what John the Baptist was talking. And Christ is the way. And we know that then Isaiah already almost 700 years before prophesied. What did he say? He will teach us of his ways so that we may walk in his paths. Isaiah already told hundreds of years before that Christ will come. And he has his own ways and paths. And we know that heavenly way and heavenly kingdom and paths are separated from this world. We cannot cross the boat. We cannot cross the river in two boats. If our legs are in both boats, can we cross the river? Not at all. We have to be in one boat. And Christ has given us that path and way to heaven. And we need to believe. And repentance is a very key point. When we believe that Christ is the Savior, he is the one, he is the way. I know many religions, many faiths, they have their own ways to have access to the Lord God. But God, Christ, through Christ, has already told us that he is the way to heaven and to heavenly kingdom. There is no other way. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have faith, then Christ opens our eyes. And then we are able to see and clearly the way that leads us to eternal life. And Christ is the main source and the main path. And his ways are very clear. And we must remember his ways of holiness, righteousness, perfection. And though we are not perfect, we are not holy, righteous. But when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be learning, exhibiting through this table what Christ has done, the atonement. He has cleared the way. Once we had, the way was damaged between God and us, and then it was infected. But Christ repaired and fixed it, and He has given us new way to heaven. The way is restored, and that is beautiful hope that we receive through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. May the Lord bless us all.